Our summer series is dealing with a number of subjects, and obviously this morning we're dealing with fear. There's a Bruce Springsteen song about a man who tattoos on his opposite hands, these words, fear on the one and love on the other. And as the song goes, he rides his motorcycle along, and he's always looking over his shoulder because he's always afraid. And he's afraid to commit his heart to anyone because he's afraid of losing that person. And then finally he meets someone and the love side is prevailing, and he embraces her, and then he has all this fear of losing her. Well, what if she's unfaithful, or what if somebody comes and takes her away? And when he settles that, then the latter part of the song has him going out to the road at night because he's afraid someone's going to come and harm them. You know, fear is a powerful influence in our lives. This summer series we're doing is called Barefoot Belief, because sometimes I think you got to take your socks and shoes off and kind of get your toes down in the sand, feel the grass under your feet, you know, and really get a sense of what it is. And that's what we're trying to do with a number of subjects through this series. We're looking at some things like doubt and fear and anger and hate and pride and anxiety and depression and loneliness. And if you want to suggest topics for this series, you're welcome to do that. Love to hear your input as we go along. But what we want to do is kind of strip away all the platitudes. We want to talk honestly and openly about some of the things that we feel. You know, a lot of the times we just feel like we can't bring them out, that we can't confess those things we're going through. We feel like if we do that, we're going to be, you know, people will think we're unspiritual or something. So we want to get this stuff out in the open. And yes, the Bible does talk about all these different subjects. So today we're talking about fear. So as we start, let's ask God to lead us through it. Lord God, you are not the God of fear, but the God of love. And you've said there is no fear in love, that perfect love drives out fear. We know the only perfect love is your love. And so we ask that you would release your love and that you would pour it out on us as we look at this subject of fear. Let us experience release from fear. We ask for your protection, for your leading, and for your illumination. Illuminate your word so that we may understand it and learn to live it out. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Once when I was about 10 years old, and I was getting ready for bed at night, and I went in, we lived in a big old house, and it was a little spooky at night. Went into the bathroom to brush my teeth and got my cup out and was gonna rinse my mouth, and as I picked up the cup, I looked down, and a big black spider crawled out of the top of the cup, and it scared me half to death. And I immediately turned on the water full blast and stuck that under there and washed that spider out of my cup and washed it down the drain. So the next time I went in to brush my teeth, I picked up my cup, I checked for spiders, and then I turned on the tap full blast and I rinsed it out and poured it out and then filled my cup so that I could rinse my mouth. The following day, I went in and I picked up my cup and I checked for spiders and I put on the water full blast and I rinsed the cup out and dumped it out before I then filled it to rinse my mouth. And guess what? I kept doing that. Day after day, night after night, I looked for the spider in my cup. I always rinsed it twice. And you know, I did that until I was an adult. And I'd forgotten why I was doing that. In fact, one day, I thought about it and I thought, well, what am I doing? And why do I do that? And then I remembered that big black spider that had been in my cup all those years ago when I was just 10 years old, and I stopped doing it. You know, that's a fear reaction, right? It's a fear reaction. We get afraid of something, and it changes the way we do things. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we respond to things. You know, I did that for all those years because I was afraid there was a spider in my cup. And that spider never showed up. I never again ever saw a spider in my cup. But every time I brushed my teeth, I dumped the water out. I rinsed it, dumped it out before I would fill it again. And I always checked for spiders. What a waste of energy. And all that, and the fear and stress that drives that, you know? But that's what fear is like, right? Fear is just kind of irrational. It doesn't always make sense. And I was reading the other day that's partly because of a chemical in our brain called oxytocin. Now, we relate oxytocin to love, you know? And we know that you marry, you have a physical relationship, and your brain releases all this oxytocin, and it's the thing that bonds you together in relationship. It's the chemical that helps you to be attracted to each other. And it makes you want to have babies, and you know, when you have babies, it's the chemical that allows you to bond to that baby. But scientists have found out that fear can produce the same bonding chemical in our brain if we have a fright, especially in childhood, or we have a shame. You know, you ever go through an experience, you know, I've had a few, I don't want to talk about them, but I have a few, you know, that I remember from childhood that I'm ashamed, even today, the shame of that situation that maybe happened when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, it's still there. Well, that's because we have a fear or we go through an intense emotional experience and the brain releases this same chemical, this oxytocin, and it bonds the memory to your brain so that it's still fresh 30 or 40 years later. Isn't that strange? We just sang, fear is a liar. Satan, the name Satan, the Satan in Hebrew, is a word that means accuser. He points the finger at us. He makes us believe the lie. And all he has to do sometimes, because we have these, you know, embedded memories and shames and maybe sins that we know have been forgiven, but it's really hard to let them go. You know, and Satan points at that stuff and he draws our attention to it, and there it is, right in your head again. And it rules some of our things. Like fear controls us, right? It can interfere with how we live our lives, how we have relationships, how we think about others who are different from us. Fear can drive that, can't it? How we interact with the world around us, the kind of job we have, the dating, the marriage, those kinds of relationships. We fear a lot of things. Now, I'm not just talking about phobias, you know. I think some of us have phobias about certain things. Like one time I was visiting my friend Paul in his apartment, and he stepped out of the apartment for a minute to get mail or do something, and so I thought, okay, I'm going to play a practical joke on him. He had this big chest freezer that was empty sitting in the corner of the living room. And so while he was out of the room, I opened the chest freezer and I climbed inside and I lowered the lid. It wasn't one with a locking lid. It was just one you pushed open. I checked that first. And I got inside. Well, it turned out that his girlfriend, Lynn, had seen me get into the freezer. And so she decided, hey, let's turn the table on him. And so she told Paul when he came back into the apartment a couple of minutes later. And Paul came over and he sat on the lid. So when I thought it appropriate, and he was talking about, where did John go? And, you know, he's going on like this. And when I thought it was time enough to jump out, I went to jump out, and I couldn't get the lid open. I pushed and I pushed, and I couldn't get it open. And at that moment, I discovered that I have an intense fear of closed spaces. What a time to discover that. An intense fear, I'm saying, you know, and so I started to freak out. I started to yell and scream and bang on the lid, and you know, he didn't hold too long. He let me out, but it turns out I have this phobia, this thing about enclosed spaces. Well, I have a pretty good idea, you know, where that started in my childhood, but if you want the psychiatrist version, you're going to have to buy me dinner. Okay. Aside from phobias, I think we have a lot of common fears, you know. fear of being left out of things. You know, when I was in college, I remember that, you know, fearing like, oh, I was missing the more exciting stuff. Somebody was always having a more exciting time than me. You know, I felt like I was being left out of things. We fear, well, that there are more attractive options in life than the one we've chosen, right? We're always thinking, feeling disappointed about the choices we've made, or, you know, some people go through life like that. Some of us are afraid of being bored. You know, so we fill our lives with as many exciting and entertaining things as we possibly can. And as adults, I think we fill up our lives with busyness sometimes because we're afraid of being bored. And then we end up with too many things and too many choices. And then we have a fear reaction, which is the very thing we were trying to avoid in the first place. Sometimes we're afraid of difficult tasks, right? We put them off. We call that procrastination. Procrastination becomes king in our lives when we'd rather do just about anything else other than the one thing that scares us. We fear not measuring up sometimes, that I'm not good enough, that everybody's better than me, or I'm not accomplished enough. Some of us are afraid we won't be accepted, and so we become people pleasers, or in codependent relationships with people in a very unhealthy way. Or we fear that we can't do enough to please God. Bruxy Cavey has a name for that. He calls it PBA. PBA, he says, is performance-based acceptance disease. That's where we do everything in our power to gain love and acceptance from God. Except, that's not how Jesus works, is it? You know? Jesus loves us, and he loves you right now, as you are, no matter what. Before you do one thing or change one thing or make one confession, he loves you without condition. That's Jesus' love. I think some of us are afraid of being alone. And so we fill up our lives with people and with noise so that we never have to be alone with the person that we dislike the most. That's often ourselves. Fear seems to rule the country right now. You know, you see that in the media, you feel that in politics. Political parties seem to be so afraid of each other that they make their opposition into enemies. Or worse. And people are afraid of what happens if those people get into control or get into power. We're terrified. We're afraid of immigrants. We're afraid of climate change. We're afraid of failing economy. We're afraid maybe of something simple like maybe not making next week's rent. A real fear. Fear is not a new thing. And you know, there is a kind of fear that God created in us that's a healthy fear. You know, God gave us a healthy fear of sticking our hand in the fire, you know. If we're afraid of that, and usually it's from experience where we've been burned, and we have a healthy fear that keeps us from doing something that'll damage us. But it's not a new thing. Fear has always been there. And Satan likes to use it against us. In the New Testament era, there was a lot of religious and political turmoil, just like there is today. You know, we think this is all new, and it's nothing new under the sun. The Apostle Paul kind of adopted Timothy as a son in the faith, and he was somebody to mentor. He was a disciple. He was somebody he was going to pour his life into. And as Timothy grew in the faith and became strong, he became an emissary for Paul, and so he would represent him in different places. Paul would send him to speak on his behalf, and Timothy would come back and communicate to Paul, this is what's going on in this church. This is the main issue. This is the difficulty we're going through right now. This is what the leadership would like you to answer in terms of a theological question. So Timothy was very involved in Paul's ministry, especially when Paul was imprisoned. Now, when there was trouble in Corinth, Timothy helped out with that trouble. And when Paul left Ephesus for Macedonia, he left Timothy behind in Ephesus to kind of watch over the church. And there was a problem rising up with some really bad teaching that was hurting a lot of people. And so Paul left him to confront that evil teaching that was coming. And that's kind of the background to what this passage is as he wrote to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Timothy became a Christian believer, according to this, when he was very young. You know, his grandmother and his mother were believers, probably before he was, and he grew up in the faith. It says in other scriptures that he knew the scriptures from the time that he was very young. There are several passages that kind of suggest that he had a bit of a timid spirit, that he was a little afraid of some things, and we believe that he needed a little extra confidence push. And this is what Paul's doing. He says, fan into flame the gift that came to you when I laid hands on you. Some people think that happened when they sort of ordained him for ministry, and that God manifested certain gifts in Timothy that were related to ministry. And he says, you know, think about it. You ever go camping, or, you know, you're sitting around the fire and the fire starts to die down. You get a stick or a poker and you poke at the embers and it starts to flame up a little bit, or you roll the logs over, or, you know, one of my dad's favorite tricks was he'd always keep a big hunk of cardboard around and he would, you know, and the flames would come bursting up. And that's kind of what he's saying to Timothy. He says, you know, you have this gift. God gave you this gift. You know, don't neglect using this gift. Don't be afraid of using this gift. In fact, fan it into flames. Use this gift. You know, this is what God gave it to you for, after all. This last verse here is important. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. New International Version of the Bible uses the word timid here, but other translations use the word fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. But what Paul's saying is actually even stronger than that. The word in Greek is the word for cowardice. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. He does not make us cowards. Well, what's a coward? What is cowardice? Well, it's not a positive trait, is it? It's where too much fear keeps us from making any risks of any kind, or keeps us from facing danger. Sometimes even the idea that danger might exist might keep us from doing something or make us run the other way. It's what happens when fear rules our lives. And it can become a habit. And anytime a challenge comes, we can turn out running away from it. We hate ourselves for doing it. We tell ourselves, the next time that happens, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to avoid that thing. I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to take it head on. And then, you know what? That fear shows up and we back down. That pushes us away. Now, that might be our normal response, but it doesn't have to be like that. Timothy had some major pastoral challenges in helping to guide these churches and confront this evil that Paul left him there for. Ephesus was a pretty nasty place to work for a believer. It had all these temples, it had this goddess worship that was going on, and it was very adamant. And he needed his gifts to be in full form, and he needed to remember that he had the Spirit of God himself inside. You know, I think this really comes home. Now, I had forgotten this, but I was reading about his death, and he was martyred or stoned to death about AD 97. And they're not quite sure where that happens. Some people think in Macedonia, but one tradition has it happening in Ephesus, where he was serving and being stoned by the very people he was opposing, the worshipers of this goddess in that town. He confronted that. He dealt with that. He faced his fear. He was able to function because of the things I think Paul encouraged him with. And we need to remember the same thing. In believing Jesus and receiving him as Lord and Savior, we also receive the Holy Spirit of God. And every believer has a constant companion in the Holy Spirit, whether we realize it or not, whether you're conscious of it or not. Paul tells Timothy, you know, three things here, because of having God's Spirit that he has, that can help him to overcome fear or cowardice or timidity. The first one is power. Power. I like this word. This is one of my favorite words in the New Testament. I know I have a lot of favorite words, but this is one of my favorites. It's the word in Greek is dunamis or dynamis, from which we get the word dynamite. God gives us dynamite through his Spirit. Well, what is dynamite? It's something powerful. Paul's saying, Timothy, you don't have to be timid. You don't have to run away from fear. Inside you have pure dynamite. You have authority. You have the power of God. It's not your power. It's God's power. But because you are a child of God, as we sang about this morning, we have this power, this authority. And it's right there in our tool bags for life that we carry along as Christians. But unchecked power is dangerous, isn't it? You know, if power is not controlled, it can be really dangerous. It can be abusive. It can do damage. It can hurt a lot of people. You know, the other day I was thinking of this, putting this message together as the first earthquake took place on the 4th of July, and then again on Friday, you know, we had this other one that that hit 7.1. This is a library in part of California. And all that shaking, all that raw power, you know, as these tectonic plates shift and move against each other, raw power without regulation is damaging, and it can be even fatal. That was kind of the problem in the church at Corinth. The Corinthian church manifested the power of God in a lot of spiritual gifts and a lot of supernatural spiritual gifts, but they weren't being used properly, and they were causing damage in the church, and they were hurting people. They were treating people very badly based on what gift God had given or not given to them. And that's why Paul said in Corinthians and says here that power is accountable to love. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love. There's that agape word again. You know, it just keeps coming up like a nuisance all over the place in the New Testament. You know, it's the kind of love that God has. It's the kind of love that Jesus had. It's the kind of love that sacrifices self for the sake of someone else. It's the kind of love that's unconditional and puts the other person first. Well, when we exercise power and we love in this way, concerned for the other person more than we're concerned for ourselves, it regulates it. It gives us, we exercise that differently, don't we? It's very hard to be afraid of somebody when you really love them. It's, if you're spending more time loving people of other nationalities and races and religions and political beliefs the way Jesus calls us to, you won't be so afraid of them, I believe. Amen? You might remember the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, a lot of us have that memorized, and we use it in a lot of weddings, and it's a much loved passage. But I think we sometimes just like to forget the context in which it's given. The context is there was a lot of problems in this church. People were using these spiritual gifts to put each other down and to cause conflict. That's why that love chapter's there. God gave you gifts. God gave you power, but you need to exercise it in love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. And that passage is essentially saying that if we live like Jesus and we love like Jesus, we don't have any fear of judgment because we're being like Jesus, right? So against fear, we have God's power, and we have God's love. The third thing that he tells us about is that we have self-discipline. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Some say self-control, and others say a sound mind, the power of a sound mind. Well, the word actually literally means a saved mind. I'll let you read into that what you will. You know, is your mind saved? Something to think about. In its context, idiomatically, the way that they use this word in Greek, it really does mean controlled. It means that your mind is not out of control. It means that your mind has control to it. And I think he's saying, young Timothy, I know you have fears, but exercise control over those fears. You have the ability to do that because through the Spirit of God, you can do that. The opposite of self-control is what? Self-indulgence, you know, where we have no controls, where we just indulge in everything. Paul tells Timothy, God's Spirit gives us control over fear. And again, not in our own power, but in his. You know, I've had, you know, like the spider thing and other fears. You know, you tell yourself, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to let this affect me. This time it'll be different. This time when I confront this, or this time when I look at this thing in my past, I'm not going to let the fear that ruled me there rule me now. You know, we look at those things. But we need God's power to do that. We walk not in our own power, but in God's when we go. And he goes before us, and he goes with us. You know, you remember the story of Moses, right? This story of God going with his people in a very obvious way. Well, at the very end of his life, he gathers the people on a hilltop, and they can see the Jordan River, and they can see the Promised Land, and he says, I'm not going with you. My time is up. And he passes leadership over to Joshua, and he shares a number of things. And one of the things he tells the people is this. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And that promise is brought forward in Hebrews 13 into the New Testament era. He will never leave you or forsake you. He gave you not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. His power. He gave you a spirit of love. His love. And he gave you self-control. His strength. Not our strength. Now here's something I want you to remember as you go out today. Jesus didn't die to make you fear. Jesus died to set you free. Isn't that true? He didn't die to give you fear. Sometimes our Christian lives, I think, are ruled by fear. I encourage you to let Jesus set you free from fear. If you've been afraid that God is going to be angry at you and is going to come down on you like a ton of bricks or hit you with bolts of lightning because of some wrong that you did, then I want to see you free from that. If you've been afraid of losing your salvation at every moment because of some sin, Jesus' blood is more powerful than that. If we confess our sins, he forgives us, and that sin is gone, and we are able to be walking free as children of God. You know? God sets us free from those fears. And he's given us the capacity to defeat fear through his Holy Spirit. You know, there's that famous Franklin D. Roosevelt quote, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. The context of that was the country had been through depression. They had been through some terrible times. The economy was upside down. It was in a real mess. And he was being elected on that day president of the United States, president of this mess. And so he said, hey, we have nothing really to fear. We can do this. Fear itself is something that we become afraid of. Let's live free in Jesus. That's what we've been gifted with, is that freedom. As we finish, I would like to pray for you this morning. I would like to have you think for a minute as we finish up. Just think for a minute. What's my greatest fear? You know, is there a fear that has kept you from doing things in your life? Is there something you've dragged along with you? You're afraid that somebody will find out something about you. You're afraid something that frightened you when you were younger is still affecting you now. You know, I'd like to pray that God can set you free from that. I encourage you as we go into prayer, just put that in front of God. Just say, hey, God, this is one of my biggest fears. Would you take that from me today? Would you relieve me of that? Pour out your love on me and overcome this fear that I have. Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, we all have a lot of unhealthy fear, and we drag that along. That's part of the baggage that we carry. And it limits us, Lord. We want to be all that we can be for you and in you. And so, Lord, free us from all these fears that we're putting in front of you now. I'll give you a moment. Just take this moment. Put that in front of God. Lord, deliver us from that fear and from all fear. Help us to receive the freedom that you provided through the cross. Lord, we acknowledge the power you put in us through your Holy Spirit. We ask you to keep us accountable to your love as we exercise that power. Let us love people more than we love power. Give us the strength, the self-control that we need to overcome the fear in our lives. And Lord, heal the crippling effect of fear, even if we've dragged that fear along over a whole lifetime. Take it from us now. Release us from it. And just fill us with love. Set us free, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one word about this is that when we put these things before God and we ask him to release them or relieve us of them, sometimes we have to keep doing that, you know? And I encourage you to do that. You know, you may experience an instant release, and that happens to many people, but you might not experience that, and it might come back again and again. Keep putting it in front of God and keep asking for him to release you from that fear.
Stand and worship with us. child of God.
And as children of God, we have these things that God has given us. Walking in victory, having a victorious Christian life, is not an arrogant thing. That's a thing we do humbly before God. And we are constantly bringing those things like fear and those things that cripple us before God. And we're asking God to release us from them. You know, those things that he would like us to see set free from. And we can live a victorious Christian life. You know, that doesn't mean it doesn't come without struggle. That doesn't mean it doesn't come without fear sometimes. We have to put that in the hands of God, though, and walk with him. And he will walk with us. So let's walk with him today. And don't forget, this Saturday, we have the special picnic that's happening here, starting at about 5, I think, right? And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Let's pray as we go. Lord, we love you, and we're here to serve you. And as we go out today, help us to walk in victory, to walk free. You set us free through Jesus, your Son. And we want to stay free. Help us to keep bringing before you these things that we're afraid of, that cripple us and hold us back, that get in the way of relationships and some of the things you'd like us to do in this life. Help us to live a joyful Christian life. And Lord God, I pray your blessing on everyone who might be struggling with this, who is carrying things that are really hard to let go of and hard to go through. Lord, I pray for your healing power to minister by your Holy Spirit. Touch those folks. Touch that place. Touch that memory. Touch that hurt. Touch that feeling. Push back the enemy. Drive back the accuser. In Jesus' name, we push him back. As we go today, God, we ask your blessing and your leading. Lead us in our homes and in our workplaces and everywhere we go. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God. Amen.